Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains. I'm Joe Steinkamp, and I'm here with my friend JJ. Patrick? Oh, let me check my Google Calendar. Hold on a second. Yeah, show time. Huh. This is weird. Nobody's here but me. Oh, no. Whatever shall we do? Wow. No Patrick. No JJ. Patrick's on vacation. JJ's traveling around the country. And it's just going to be me. But I'm not going to talk in your ears for like an hour. That just seems wrong. And with all the political, you know, things going on right now, I think you have enough people already drawing at you for hours and hours and hours. So let's do this. How about this idea? Let's just have a whole bunch of our tips over the previous episodes, just the tips, if you mind. And we'll go through some of the highlights of what we've liked out of the 60-something shows that we've done over the past 18, 19 months. And you know what? We'll throw in some new ideas here along the way. That way, it's not just, you know, a clip show, if you will. I think of The Simpsons. Oh, shudder. But if we have some new ideas along the way, that will make this a little interesting for everyone involved. And so what we'll do is we'll just go from one clip to the next. There's not going to be any setups. But if you want to know which ones are coming up or which ones we're going to cover, head on over to the show notes, blindbargains.com. Then head on over to the audio tab and look for this particular episode. Now, I say new information. Let me give you one right off the top of the show. Windows 10 Anniversary is coming out on August 2nd, or is out at the time that you are hearing this. And one of the neat features that is inside Windows 10 Anniversary Edition is dark theme. Now, you could do a dark theme in older versions of Windows, but it required you to do a registry hack, and not everybody wants to go into HKEY local machine and destroy things in there. And that's a good thing. You probably don't want to go in there, but you might still want to have white text on a black background or other places. Now, this works mostly in system areas. It doesn't necessarily work in, say, like Firefox UI or other major UIs that are outside of Windows, but it is a definite start to be able to help you if you are low vision, want to have a kind of a darker contrast without messing up pictures. And what I mean by that is you can invert colors on Magic, ZoomText, or other programs like that. But the problem is that it's a 100% conversion. If you do the flip, you're looking at Facebook, that black lab is now a white lab thanks to inverting your colors. And that's not necessarily good, especially if you're going to read bar graphs. That went from being a red line to a blue line. Oops. And that can be very confusing. So if you can change your themes, that way the colors of pictures and other prompts stay the same, that can be very helpful. Now, when I say dark theme, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, Joe, I just go over to settings, personalization, and themes. Well, that's where I went initially, but that is not correct. Where you have to go is, follow me here, settings, personalization, but then go to colors. Under colors, that particular tab, you'll see on the right a screen and then a bunch of little boxes of colors of various types under that. Depending how big your window is and your monitor and how you resize, you may have to scroll that window down or tab all the way down to the very bottom, and you'll find a section there that says light and then dark, kind of like the Force, you know, when Google did that whole Force thing, you know, light side, dark side, Force. Anyway, Star Wars references aside, choose the dark side, and then it will put the white text on the black background. And you can experiment with that. It's a really neat change, happens in real time. You don't have to click apply or anything like that. And you can play with that, see how that works, and see if it does what you want it to do. Now, you can also still do themes and other things to change the colors of your highlighting or the gradients on Windows. That's still customizable, and it doesn't necessarily affect this. And it is a little different than, you know, spending a bunch of time playing with your backgrounds of text, foreground, and background color. So give it a shot. It's there. It's inside Windows 10 Anniversary Edition. It's one of the many features that is there in the latest version. Now, with that said, there'll be some other information that's new that isn't from previous episodes coming up here on this tips edition of Blind Bargains. If you have any questions, remember you can always write us on feedback@blindbargains.com or send us a tweet and let us know whether you like this idea or not, because we could always go back and revisit some of our older reviews or see what we're doing, like, you know, with the Galaxy, how Ricky and I are doing with the ID Make Galaxy several months on. Just kind of a retrospective of some of the content we've already done.
Here's a tip. If you thought that the information service Tell Me was no longer available, think again. You just need to call a different number. Call 408-752-8052, and you'll hear this.
Hi, welcome to the information line, now powered by 24/7. The same great features and even more.
It sounds a bit different, but it still gives you many of the same features.
Main menu, say a city and state, or say driving directions, traffic, weather, movies, sports, stock quotes, cheap gas, horoscopes, news, time, travel, or tell me my favorites.
Again, that's 408-752-8052. Send us your favorite tips at tips@blindbargains.com.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Tips@blindbargains.com.
That's Chatsford, Pennsylvania, right?
Oh, I give up.
Joe back with another one of our tips. We talked about having some interesting things happen during 2016 in the way of providing you little tips that'll help you get through the year. And this time we're going back to Windows and Dropbox. One of the things that Dropbox announced in 2015 was that they would have more integration with programs like Microsoft Word. That sounds all well and good, but sometimes it can have little weird consequences when two megalithic giants all sort of squish themselves up into one combined service. And by this, I mean that there is a thing that can happen if you work a lot in some types of files, let's just say Microsoft Office files, and you share or maybe collaborate on a document between friends. Recently, Dropbox started this thing called the Dropbox Badge, and what that pretty much means is that there's a bit of a floating window that can happen when you're, say, saving in Word, and screen readers tend not to find it, or it can get in the way. So you're saving in a document, or you think you're saving in a document, and it's not really saving, and you can't really figure out why, or you hear a phantom button that you've never heard before when you go to save. Chances are your focus just landed in this floating window. You can get rid of this amazingly helpful yet not helpful tool by dropping out the Dropbox badge. This will get rid of the floating window, and it won't just get rid of it in Microsoft Office. It'll get rid of it in other places as well. So this tip assumes that you have Windows, that you have the Dropbox client, desktop client, installed, and that you probably are sharing a document or saving a document in Microsoft Word or other types of programs. What you need to do is bring up your Dropbox preferences. Simple way to do that is a Windows B, go down to Sys Tray, find the Dropbox icon wherever it is hiding, hit enter on that or application key, depending on your operating system, but basically get focused to get into the Dropbox preferences of the desktop client. Then the first tab is general. In general, tab like three times. If not, what you're listening for is the Dropbox badge drop-down menu. So the first one is generally, do you want notifications? You can tab past that. The next one is a little thing about how you want Dropbox to do things like startup. And then the drop-down menu. Do your down arrow alt and go down to the option to never show. There are three there. And it's probably just better for the time being that you move over to never show, then click OK. And that will remove the Dropbox badge from Dropbox. If you aren't sure about this, we've got a link in the show notes, so head on over to blindbargains.com to be able to read this from the show notes in case you get lost during my crazy instructions.
Here's a tip. Sometimes the simplest commands are some of the most useful. I was randomly browsing Twitter and I got this tip from Tuuko Ahala on how to shut up those annoying video things that you hear on Firefox. Suppose I'm on a website on Firefox, let's say it's CNN, I'm trying to read a news story.
Search CNN edit button.
So I'm going down and I'm trying to read the article.
I hate to see that.
Punch him.
And
profiles.
I'm trying to read this article.
Jeremy.
And
see,
and then this comes up. It might be an interesting video, but I really just want to try to read the article. Well, Control M shuts that up and any other video ad or whatever it happens to be. So you can go on and read the actual page. Sometimes it's really difficult to hear if the thing you are hearing in the background is louder than what you are trying to read with your screen reader. So Control M for mute will get rid of it and bring it back. Perhaps the simplest keystroke I've ever seen, and one I wish I would have known about a long time ago. It works just on Firefox, as far as we know. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
We should stay tuned
for more of the Blind Bargains cast. I'm trying to talk here.
It's not a subject.
Stay tuned for more of the Blind
Bargains.
I give up.
Today's tip is a bit dangerous and will require you to delete some stuff. Therefore, please, 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 please back up all of your files before attempting this Windows tip. I'd even say it's a good idea to go ahead and do that anyway. It's just good practice and will prepare you for the worst, should the worst ever happen. Let's hope not. Today's tip involves the words disk and or cleanup. Disk cleanup is a powerful tool and can really help Windows at times. But what I'm going to show you today is a way to delete previous versions from Windows. Previous versions is a wonderful thing to fall back on in case of an emergency. Let's say I'm writing a show doc. I don't know. Episode 54 for, I don't know, Blind Bargains Cast. So Blind Bargains Cast, episode 54.doc. And I made some changes to it, and I want to go back to a previous version of that. If I put my focus on the file, I can actually go to, well, properties, then previous versions, and actually go to an older version of a file. It's super helpful. The problem is that Windows restore points and these previous versions of files, such as documents, can take up a lot of space over time and even confuse Windows after a bit because there's just so many of them on the hard drive. Maintenance routines will delete these over time, hopefully, but I have seen Windows installations where this did not happen. I've had to kickstart the previous version slash the system restore point exodus in mass on my own. So I'm going to show you how to do that. And this is the easier version. There are other ways of doing it, but this is an easier version for those who are not comfortable going into various parts of Windows. Hit your start key. And then from the start key, type in the words disk, D-I-S-K, space, cleanup, C-L-E-A-N-U-P, disk cleanup. Hopefully, the first thing on the list is the program. So hit enter or put your focus there and read them and see that it says disk cleanup program. And it should be the one there locally on your machine. Hit enter. And once when you do that, you will get a progress bar that's going to go from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. And it might take a minute if you've never launched this before. After it's done so, you're going to find yourself in a box that's going to have checkboxes and a couple of boxes below that, an OK and a cancel, and then all the stuff you're usually used to with Windows. What I want you to do, though, is skip the checkboxes, go down to a button that says clean up system files. Hit that button, and you're going to have the same process that started disk cleanup happen again. Therefore, you're going to have a progress bar going from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. And, confusingly enough, the same box that you just had a moment ago, except we have a new tab up there at the top. If you control tab, or if you put your focus on the tabs and go over to the one on the right, you will find that you will now have two new buttons that you did not have initially with disk cleanup. What I'm interested in telling you about today is the second button. So tab to the second button, and that will tell you that it will delete previous restore points. If you hit spacebar on that, you will get a box that says, "Are you sure?" And again, make sure all your stuff is backed up before you do this. You can tell it yes, and this could free up a lot of space, depending how much you do in Word documents and what have you, or if you have a bunch of system restore points. Again, the reason why I'm saying don't do this is that if you have a problem with Windows, you can actually go back to a previous version of Windows. So you can go back to, say, I don't know, one from 3 weeks ago where you know your stuff was very stable, and it's a great troubleshooting thing to be able to get back to that if you come across something that's going to mess Windows up. If you feel pretty confident in your Windows installation, or you're like me sometimes, you'd rather just slash and burn and reformat and go, from the ground up one weekend. It's a lot of fun. I've done it many, many a time. You could do this, and you might free up, again, a lot of free space on your computer. If you've hit spacebar on this, you might find that it will take Windows a lot of time to do this the first time if you've never done it before. If you go back to the other tab, by the way, you'll find a bunch of checkboxes that'll tell you how to delete other things from your computer that could also delete a lot of space. Some of this will again run in maintenance, like once a month or so, if your computer is left on to do maintenance. That's a tip for another time. You can arrow through here and hear how much space you will get back, but we'll save that for another time. Right now, we're just talking about previous versions. And if you have questions about this procedure, or if you want to know more about this particular procedure, go to the show notes and or write us.
Earlier we mentioned Chicken Nugget's new OCR feature for tweets. And some of you might be thinking, OCR for tweets? Tweets is text. Why do we need OCR? Well, if you may not know, there's lots of tweets that happen to have pictures attached. And these aren't always pictures. In fact, a lot of times pictures just are text or pictures that have a lot of text in them. So I'm in Chicken Nugget 4. And I have a tweet here.
Android Police, Spotify buys concert photo and video aggregator Crowd Album http://w.
And there's a tweet about some new app or Crowd Album or whatever this is. I'm not really sure what this is. And you know what? The picture might give me a bit of a clue. So I'm going to press Alt-Win-O in Windows 10. At least that's the hotkey. And let's see what we get.
Extracting text. OCR results dialog. Text edit multi-line read only. Crowd Album. Great social photos shared from the world's events. Bradley Gibbert with Michael Ray and Cannon Smith. Blank.
Well, that's kind of interesting. So it looks like a bit of a screenshot or something advertising the app, but it actually tells me a lot more about the app. Now, here's another example where this could come in really handy. Let's go to this tweet right here.
Female holidays. Spotted this sign in the shop and number. See houses number. Northumberland number. Funny number. Quality of day number. Quadrant. https://.
Spotted this sign. Well, you know what? Without being able to see the picture of the sign, we have no idea, and we just have to move on to the next tweet. Well, we can again do the OCR and see what happens.
Extracting text. OCR results dialog. Text edit multi-line read only. Some people just need a high-five in the head with a chair. Blank.
Some people just need a high-five in the head with a chair. The wisdom of Twitter. Now accessible to us as well. Chicken Nugget is available for Windows and available from accessible apps for $15. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
Let's head on back to Windows for this week's tip, shall we? It's been a while since we've been there, and I'm going to be using Windows 10. However, this actually goes all the way back to Windows 7, if not a little earlier. Now, the taskbar buttons that you have there, the little shortcut ones, you might actually probably put your focus there and turn those off. But did you know that they actually do and can serve a purpose? Yeah, here's the deal. If you do have those Windows taskbar buttons enabled, and let's just say that you do for the example, and let's say you're running Windows 10, and I don't know, let's say, Microsoft Edge for some reason is the first one in that list. If you do a Windows plus the one key up in the number row, not the number pad, but the number row up at the top of your letters and numbers there on the QWERTY keyboard, you will actually launch Microsoft Edge. Now, you don't have to. Naturally, you can unpin that from the taskbar, and you can add other things. But it's a neat way of being able to do quick, fast shortcuts. So for me, I have Mozilla Firefox on Windows 3, and I can actually bring up Firefox in a new browser by doing a Windows plus the 3 key. And you can rearrange and move those around. Naturally, some screen readers or screen magnifiers might also use those. So you want to definitely look at your assistive technology of choice. However, you can use that if you don't have a conflict, and it's a neat way of being able to get back and forth to programs in a fix. You can actually remove the taskbar from being seen, those buttons, and it won't affect the Windows 1, 2, 3, and those combinations. So if you want to get that real estate back, or you just don't like having those taskbar button shortcuts running, you can remove those and still keep the Windows plus 1, plus 2, plus 3. There you go. It's a quick tip, and it goes all the way back to Windows 7. You don't have to be in Windows 10 to be able to enjoy it. Hey, everyone, it's Joe. And have you ever been at a party and gone, what is that song? Or you're sitting at, I don't know, TGI Fridays, you're having a conversation with people, but you hear that song in the background and it's driving you crazy. Or better yet, you're sitting out there waiting for your girlfriend to come out of the changing room and you hear a song coming over the speakers and you're like, I want to know what that song is, but I don't have a way of knowing. Well, everyone, there is a way. And I'm going to demonstrate this on iOS, although Jay tells me it is available on Android. But, I've got an iPad right here, and we're going to test this out. We're going to hear a song, and we're going to ask Siri to tell us what it is. Right? I happen to know what that is, but we're going to ask Siri anyway. Siri, what is this song?
Listening. Oh, a nervous song. It's Crying by Aerosmith.
So that's how that works, is you just basically ask Siri to recognize what the song is, and you get to know what it is because she tells you.
81% battery power. Oh, I know this song. It's Crying by Aerosmith. Crying by Aerosmith.
What doesn't happen, and I'm sure that'll happen eventually, is, would you like to buy this song on iTunes? Press this button. Eventually, somebody's going to end up doing that. But it's a great way of solving arguments at bars, or playing Name That Tune, or just really scratching that mental itch of, what is that song? It's driving me crazy. So basically, tap the Siri button, ask her what song it is, and wait for her to tell you. Again, this is available for Android, and it's not just iOS only, which is also kind of good because, well, sometimes you have to grab whatever tablet or phone is nearby to be able to figure out what that song is.
Here's an oldie but goodie tip, courtesy of Siri. Siri can tell you which flights are above you, as in those planes that you might be hearing overhead. Just ask it, what flights are above me?
On it. Here is what I found. Take a look.
And let's look at the screen and see what we have here.
Vertical line altitude, vertical line angle. American Airlines flight 2,474, vertical line 26,000 feet, vertical line 23 degrees up. Southwest Airlines flight 823, vertical line 29,000 feet, vertical line 22 degrees up. Southwest Airlines flight 1,444, vertical line 37,000 feet, vertical line 17 degrees up. Southwest Airlines flight 4 results from Wolfram Alpha.
And as you just heard, those results are from Wolfram Alpha, which is a service that provides a lot of the deep dive queries that Siri and some of these other voice assistants use. So next time you hear that plane noise above you, you can ask Siri to tell you what exactly that plane is doing. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com. Here's a tip. You can now set an alarm on your Android device directly from Google Search. Let's demonstrate. Let's go to google.com.
Google Internet Explorer. Top J, no edit. Search.
And I'm going to type in alarm for 9 a.m.
Alarm. For 9 a.m.
And hit search.
SMG900V button pull down closed. SMG900V09.
And there we go. We actually see, in addition to the regular Google search results,
00 edit. A button pull down closed.
A box here where it shows my phone. Galaxy S5, SMG900V, and the alarm time, 9 a.m.
Set alarm on your phone.
And if I hit this button here, set alarm on your phone.
Home screen. Alarm set for 1 hour and 33 minutes from now.
That was my phone talking, where it said alarm set for 1 hour and 33 minutes from now. So I did that directly from Google Search on my computer. You can also set reminders from your computer, as well as send notes to your phone and directions from Google Maps. We'll link to the instructions from Google directly from the show notes at blindbargains.com. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
Did you know that there's a more accurate way than just looking at bars to determine the signal strength that your iPhone receives from your cell carrier? Well, there is, and it's pretty old. Actually, it's been around for years, but I thought that more people should know about it because it's just that useful. So I'm going to show you how it works. So we've all seen the bar scale, which shows out of 5 how good your signal is from the cell tower. This, by the way, is called the RSSI, the technical name for that, the Received Signal Strength Indicator. And we'll get into that in a little more detail in a minute. But of course, we've all seen the
2 of 5 bars, signal strength, status bar item.
2 of 5 bars, which is apparently what I have here on the edge of LTE coverage.
Verizon Wireless Network, status bar item.
And I'm on Verizon Wireless. It's interesting because if you're on 3G, it simply says Verizon Network. If you're on LTE, it says Verizon Wireless Network. That is apparently specific to Verizon. But anyway, there is a more accurate way to determine what exactly those bars mean. And I'll show you exactly how that works right now. The way you do this is to go into the phone app.
Doc, ring box, which, 7 new items.
Yes.
Double tap to open.
My phone actually says ring box because I got bored and changed the icon label. So we'll go into ring box.
Ring box, 1.
And now we're going to dial the following sequence. Star 3001 pound 12345 pound. Nope, we're not done yet. Star. So again, that is star 3001 pound 12345 pound star. So let's do that.
Star, star, 3001 pound number 12345 pound number star star.
Now press call.
Call button. Field test. Field test. Heading.
And now we're in field test mode. Now, this is pretty technical, so I'm not going to get too in-depth into what all this can do. And this is way beyond the scope of this tip. You can do some research if you like. But at the fundamental level, what you can do with this is you can see things like your connecting cell. You can get more info about the tower you're connected to, the exact tower ID, which this can be useful in situations like I've had before where in my area, sometimes LTE just doesn't work, even though this is an LTE area. And even though I've had good signal, sometimes it just drops out and goes back to 3G for no good reason. So I've actually been able to call Verizon and say, okay, this is the exact tower I'm connected to. This is the exact tower ID. This is the problem I'm having with this specific tower. And they were able to do something about it. But for the average end user, you know, it's not something you're going to need every day. But you have things like
neighbor measurements.
That.
Connected mode LTE intra-frequency measurement. Serving cell info. Serving cell measurements. SIM info.
Let's just look at serving cell info just for a second here.
Serving cell info.
Just so you can see without going too deep. And by the way, this looks entirely different if you're connected to 3G versus LTE. And it looks entirely different again whether you're connected through a GSM provider or a CDMA provider such as Verizon or Sprint. So let's just see what this has in it.
Serving cell info. Field test. Back button. Serving cell info. Download bandwidth. 10 megahertz. Threat band indicator, 13. NumTX antennas, 2. UAR FCN, 5230. Tracking area code, 20,996. Physical cell ID, 253. Updated 2015, 06, 11 at 1149. Call updated 2000.
And now you know some pretty specific information about the tower I'm connected to, and if you were a Verizon engineer, you could probably track me and trace me and find me and do bad things to me. But since you're not, you won't, and that's pretty cool. But that's really not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to show you how to turn those bars into numbers that actually mean a bit more than the bars that are a little more granular. Now, when you're in field test mode, you can actually look at the status bar where the bars used to be, and it's a little hard to find with field test mode because this has been around since iOS 4. It hasn't really been updated since, well, it probably hasn't ever been updated. So the top of the screen, if you have a larger iPhone, in other words, basically anything bigger than a 4S, doesn't quite line up where it used to be. So if you look a little further down from the top, you should see
measurements. Field minus 107 signal strength. Status bar item.
Now what you just heard, minus 107 signal strength, that's where the bars used to be. Now, minus 107, that's actually reading the RSSI in decibels. And the range starts at minus 130. You don't ever want to see anything. This is minus 130. That means you will never have service ever. And it goes, I guess, theoretically up to zero, but you'll never see zero. And you probably would never want to see zero, because if you see that, you're most likely sitting right on top of an antenna. And I mean that literally. With VoiceOver running, while you're in field test mode, you can double tap on the bar or the number icon in this case, and it will toggle between bars and numbers.
2 of 5 bars, rows 1 to 7 of 7. Minus 100, rows 1 to 7 of 7. 3 of 5 bar, rows 1 to 7 of 7. Minus 102, rows 1 to 7 of 7. 3 of 5 bar, rows 1 to 7, minus 100, rows 1 to 7 of 7.
Now, when you're in field test mode, VoiceOver is a little bit dumb about that, and it reads row information when it doesn't necessarily need to. Now, when you exit field test mode, which of course you do by pressing home, this goes away.
Social folder, 9 apps, 3 of 5 bars, signal strength.
Right, now you're back to bars. Smart. Now, if I tap on the bar again.
3 of 5 bars, signal, 3 of 5 bars, 3 of 5 bars,
Well, it's still reading the bars. Now, there is a way to make this stick and stay stuck so that you can actually see this when you're not in field test mode. I'll show you how that works. So I'm going to go back into the phone app, and I'm going to go back into field test mode by dialing star 3001 pound 12345 pound star.
Call button. Field test, heading.
And I'm back in field test mode, so let's make sure that it's showing the actual decibels of the RSSI.
Neighbor measurements. Field, minus 106 signal strength. Status bar item.
And it is.
Swipe down with three fingers.
So what we're going to do here is pretend to turn the phone off. So I'm going to hold down the power button like this until it says power off.
Power off button. Slide or double tap.
And now, rather than turning the phone off, I'm going to press the home button and hold it down until it speaks again. This is probably about 7 or 8 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go.
Social folder,
so,
9 apps, 61 new items.
About 6 seconds. Now, I'm not in field test mode anymore, but I should.
Minus 106 signal strength, status bar item.
Yep.
Swipe down with three fingers to reveal the
I now see the measurement in decibels, and I should also be able to double tap.
2 of 5 bars, signal strength, status.
And it's back to showing bars.
Minus 106 signal strength, status bar. 2 of 5 bars, signal strength, minus 106 signal strength, status.
And there you go. This will work anywhere in the phone now, pretty much until you reset your phone and start from scratch. This will also work with iCloud backups and restores. You can even change phones, restore from an iCloud backup on a different phone. This is what I did when I went from AT&T to Verizon, and that still stuck. So you might be asking yourself, why bother with all these numbers when you can just see the bars? Well, that's actually pretty simple. For me, using Verizon, I've actually seen several instances where my phone shows that I have 3 or 4 bars and therefore should, you know, have a pretty good quality phone call or data connection. And I've actually found this not to be the case until I've actually looked at the number of the signal strength in decibels. And what I've usually discovered is that that number is actually usually quite a bit lower than the bars let it out to be. So the scale is a little bit different between providers. I've noticed with having both AT&T and Verizon that it looks a little different when you compare the numbers to the bars. But with Verizon anyway, you don't really see 5 bars until it hits about minus 70. And I generally don't see that very much unless I'm on the highway. So anything from minus 70, which is awesome, or higher, if you can get it up until saturation, I have seen higher numbers actually not be so good, like minus 50 or minus 60. By that point, you're actually hitting radio saturation, and things might not actually be as good as you think they would be. So I'll say from minus 70 to about minus 100 is pretty usable. Anything under minus 100 dB may or may not work, is kind of hit and miss. If you see anything less than about minus 110, you're probably not going to get a phone call out, and your data is probably not going to work either. And at minus 110, where you're not getting anything to work, if you look at those bars, it still might say 2 bars. Well, 2 bars is not 3 bars or 4, but it should still work, right? Well, maybe not. Another interesting observation I made when I was on AT&T is that the bar scale seems to actually be different depending on what data mode you're connected in. For example, if your signal strength is minus 101 on 3G, that might be 2 bars, but on LTE, that same minus 101 is 3 bars. So that's kind of interesting. I wonder if they did that on purpose just to make LTE look better. And that's another reason you might want to see the signal strength measured in decibels rather than bars, because the signal doesn't lie. Bars can, and they're not as granular. So that's just, to me anyway, something that makes a little more sense than looking at the bar scale. I'm a bit of a radio geek, so having that ability is nice. I wish Wi-Fi would do that, but it doesn't. Oh well, maybe we'll get that in iOS 9. Probably not.
Google Now is one of the most powerful parts of the operating system of Android, and one of the things that you can do now is you can actually use Google Now to call somebody in speakerphone mode, which is pretty, pretty neat. You can have your Google Now on and just say, hey, Google, or okay, Google, or whatever Google thing you have that set for, or you can actually go into Google Now, head over to the voice search box and click on that. Call Ricky Enger on speakerphone.
Showing one suggestion.
Calling Ricky Enger. Work on Google. Speakerphone.
Make a call on speakerphone.
And it does just like that. So you can actually have it go right to my speakerphone and make a call, which is really nice. You can actually do that sort of if you're in the kitchen and you want to be able to do things without actually having to get the screen dirty, or you want to be able to do that kind of thing. Say, hands-free driving is really what it's meant for, but I don't know that too many of us will be doing that until those self-driving cars show up. So you can play with that. Make sure that you say on speakerphone. It is very key. If you say in speakerphone or on speakerphone mode or something like that, it tends not to get it or it gives you some kind of search results. So the person you're wanting to call on speakerphone. Just a tip for Android here on Blind Bargains Cast. In iOS 9, you can do some new things with Siri. Number one is you can actually use Hey Siri without having to plug in your device, which is possibly a battery draining thing, but still kind of neat. Two, you can have a voice for Siri that's different than the language. What do I mean by that? You can head on over to Settings and then go over to the general area, click on Siri, swipe on down, and you'll run into a control for language and a control for accent. So you can actually have minutes of fun going through and choosing different languages and different accents for Siri to read them in. Bored in line? This might actually kill some time to be able to hear a British accent with Chinese language. Yep, sounds like fun, and it's all available right there in iOS 9.
Here's a tip. You're wasting your breath and your speech if you're talking to Siri or Google Now and trying to use complete sentences. Now, they might tell you to do this, but you know you really can do things a lot quicker. For instance, if I want to set an alarm for tomorrow, I could just do this. Alarm 8 a.m.
Okay, 8 a.m. Setting your alarm.
Why say set an alarm for 8 a.m. or anything fancy like that? Just say alarm 8 a.m. You get the same results. Or if I want a sports score for my favorite on-again, off-again baseball team, I used to say, what is the score of the Tigers game? That's a lot of words. Let's just do this. Tigers score.
The Tigers lost to the Pirates 5-4. They are playing the Pirates today at
7:08 p.m. Yeah, they lost. They lost. They lost. Again. In 14 innings. Oh, yeah. It was tormenting. Maybe I should just stop asking for the Tigers score. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
Earlier in the show, we mentioned that there was a new update for iOS. Now, one of the things that came along with that is a swell new feature that I use now constantly. The idea here is that you can get through apps much faster without having to hit the home button. Simply place 4 fingers on the screen vertically, top to bottom, and then swipe your fingers left or right, all 4. Now, if you do this successfully, you'll hear something like this.
Amazon. Give your friends $5 to spend at Amazon. Blind Bargains. Product search. Button. News. Heading. Search. Review. Which is it? The iPhone S or iPhone 6S? 22 hours ago. Button.
I'm switching through open apps, and I'm able to go backwards and forwards through the list while in the app. So, I mean, it's taking an app and switching it for another app, which is fantastic. You don't have to hit the home button. And you don't have to do the app switcher. You can just simply go back and forth between 2 apps, just like this.
Messages. Text field. Is editing. Word mode. This is me not actually typing in a text message box. Insertion point at end. Blind Bargains. Product search. Button. Give. Amazon. Get started. Button. Blind Bargains. Product search. The writing is on your wall. Facebook officially announces automatic text description 9 days ago. Button.
Ah, that's just magic to my ears. It's the 4-finger gesture that came about in the latest version of iOS, and it is your tip for this week's Blind Bargains. A few months ago, I did some tips on the Apple TV. Well, there was one I kind of omitted because I wasn't sure how to do it, and I wanted to learn how to do it before I showed it to everybody. And that one was listed in the article from the episode. The ability to restart your Apple TV is something that you should consider doing every so often. Occasionally, apps get a little hung or, I don't know, something to do with memory, but it just really works out much better if you restart your Apple TV, say once a week or so. And I do this every Saturday. And just, you know, kind of while I'm doing it, just real quick. And it doesn't take all that long. So it's something that I recommend that you do. And an easy way to do that is to hold 2 buttons down. So if you're holding the Apple TV remote in your hand, you'll notice that there are those 3 buttons on the left side, which would be your menu, your Siri, and your play pause. And then on the right, you've got the home and then the big bar for volume. What I want you to do is hold down the home and the menu keys simultaneously for 10 seconds and then let them go. If you've done this correctly, it will reboot your Apple TV. You will not get a voiceover prompt. It'll just do it. But what you will have to know that you are in the reboot mode is the ability to press a button, not hear any speech, and then eventually it comes back up and says voiceover on. So it's not super scary, and it's certainly better than unplugging it, which is something you don't want to do. And it's not as time consuming as going into the system menu and rebooting it from there. Although if you want a good verification to know that you have done it, that is the way to do it, is from the menu. But if you're okay with holding on to these 2 buttons and restarting it once, that'll help. And like I said, you should do it every so often. I do it like every Saturday or so, and that works out just nicely.
Here's a tip for all the gamers out there. Many of you may be familiar with the game Hanging with Friends, which is available and accessible on the iPhone and iPad. Here's some tips to help you win more often. First, when you're guessing the word, you might realize that one of the vowels is always displayed. That vowel is always the last vowel in the word. So if you have a 4-letter word and it is blank E blank blank, those last 2 blanks are consonants. This next tip is a little bit geeky, but really useful. You might notice how the sounds become progressively bigger as you guess the word. This sound, which has a drum roll in the background, is played when there are 2 letters left to guess. Notice I said two letters. If there are actually three blanks left in the word, one of those letters is going to fill two of those blanks. The same goes for this sound when there is one letter left to guess. If you have two blanks left, it's going to be the same letter in both of those blanks. Finally, when creating a word for your opponent, remember the longer the word you create, the less guesses for them. If you send them an 8-letter word, they'll only have 4 guesses. If you send them a 4-letter word, they'll have 8. It's up to you to decide which strategy is best. For more, someone has actually created a Hanging with Friends strategy guide. Yes, you heard me right. We've linked to it from the show notes. Here's a tip on Farkle strategy. Yes, you heard right, Farkle strategy. A while back, we did a tip on Hanging with Friends strategy, and now we're going to do it yet again for Farkle, one of the simplest dice games ever, but yes, there's oh so much strategy. If you haven't played it, Farkle is a simple dice game that gives you points based on various rolls, such as 3 fives or a 5 and a 1, or pairs or triplets. You can play it on Dice World on iOS or Android, or on RS Games, or The Game Room on Quentin C. And yes, just like Hanging with Friends, someone has created a Farkle strategy guide. Not just any strategy guide, a complete strategy simulator where you can fill in the various roles and points for your version of Farkle, and it will generate a complete strategy guide telling you every single thing, what you should do on any particular role. For instance, if your roll of 6 dice is 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, you might immediately think to keep the 3 twos for 200 points. That's actually not a good strategy. You should keep the single 5 for 50 points and then roll the remaining 5 dice. You see, having 5 dice to roll the second time gives you a higher probability of having a better roll. In most situations, if you have 2 dice or less, that's the point that you should stop. There's a few exceptions, of course, and the strategy guide points these out. So you can spend hours honing your Farkle strategy and beating your opponents into an oblivion. But alas, it is still just dice, and there's quite a bit of luck in the game as well. We've linked to the Farkle strategy guide from our show notes. If you have tips for us, perhaps something more useful than this, send them the feedback at blindbargains.com. Here's a tip honoring the late, great Jim Kitchen. Many, many great games for Windows. 40 different text-to-speech games that you could play using Windows all for free and all still available over at the Kitchen Sync site. And now with that Mega Games pack installer that Brian Smart has created. One of the cool things about Jim Kitchen's games is that, of course, they're all self-voicing, and they would work even if you didn't have a screen reader. This, of course, also means that with Windows, you're using what's called SAPI, which are the default voices that come with Windows. So sometimes the voices aren't necessarily the greatest or the most understandable. Well, that's changed now. With the Eloquence SAPI pack, you can get it from a lot of retailers, including us at atguys.com. So let's open up the Kitchen Sink. Okay. Mega pack here.
Welcome to Kitchen Sync Games. Use the up and down arrow key for press the first letter of the game, then press enter to play the game.
And you notice the main menu is still using the SAPI default voice. There's no real way to change it, from at least from within the Kitchen Sync games, unless you perhaps go into control panel and do it that way. But let's go down to golf, everybody's favorite game. So many games here. Let's go to golf.
PC Golf. Version 11, by Jim Kitchen. Is Jage correct for your name?
Yes. And it remembers me, Jage. That's the name, of course, I put in here.
Jage, do you wish to use this voice?
Ah.
Yes.
No, I do not wish to use this voice, because I want to use my SAPI Eloquence that is installed.
No.
So we're going to have to cycle through a couple of these.
Jage, do you wish to use this voice? Yes.
Well, that would be interesting, but probably hard to understand.
No. Jage, do you wish to use this voice?
That's closer.
Yeah, no. Jage, do you wish to use this voice?
Ah,
yes.
Let's do it.
Jage, select power indicator sound files. Regular.
Now we have golf with Eloquence, but hey, we can make this even better. We can press F9 in golf, and some of the other Jim Kitchen games, there's different commands for this.
To adjust the speech rate, use the arrow keys and then press enter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jage, select power indicator sound files. Regular. Jage, would you like to read the instructions? No. Yes. No. Jage, would you like to read the specialty instructions? No.
I love these games, and they've been lots of fun to play for many years, but now they're even more cool to play with Eloquence doing the voice. Of course, if you have SAPI Vocalizer or some of the other things, you could do that as well using
yes,
these.
No. Jake, would you like to read this? No. Yes. No. Select 2. Use all watcher. 3. Driving range.
So much faster, right?
Two, it's one, just, select 2.
You can power through a game of golf in just a few minutes. Of course, it's not going to help your golf game at all, but at least it will sound better. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
Back around the holidays, Liam, our gadget guy, and myself sat down and talked about Xbox and that it now has the ability to use Narrator, which is just, I mean, it's opened up a whole new world for me. And after setting up a PlayStation TV, I really appreciate Narrator being on the Xbox more and more. And for families who have children who play Xbox, this is a good thing too. Not only can you still go to Xbox.com and be able to play around with things in there and see what your children are watching or see what they're playing, but you can actually connect the Xbox app to an Xbox as long as they're on the same network. And you can use a screen reader to go around in the Xbox app as well and be able to see their friends list and make changes or see what's going on as far as that is concerned, set up, you know, kind of things for being able to purchase. Like if they want a game, you can go in there and do that. And you can do the same thing from Xbox.com, but to be able to go onto the console or set it up out of the box when you first get it, newer Xboxes, not older Xboxes, but newer Xboxes, you will get the ability to hit Windows, Enter, just kick up a keyboard to it. There are several USB slots on the Xbox itself, so just put on a keyboard, hit Windows Enter at startup, and you'll have Narrator. Now, I say newer Xboxes. If you get an older Xbox or if you get one from a friend, it might require an update, and it has to be an update from November 2015 on, but most of the newer Xboxes, and I imagine the Xbox S, which comes out at the time of this recording, August of 2016, you'll be able to just put in a keyboard, hit Windows Enter, and then go from there. And if you know your Narrator keys, you have a much better time in navigating the Xbox experience. Now, I've used this to set up family safety, so Kyle doesn't necessarily get an opportunity to purchase games off my credit card. And also, I have different profiles set up, so that way, if I want to play something, I still have my achievement list, and Kyle has his achievement list. And it's really kind of awesome to be able, for the first time, to be able to, you know, set these things up on my own and it not be an Apple device. So remember, if you are considering a video game system for your family this fall, one of the things that will make it a lot easier to use is Narrator on Xbox One.
Ah, the joys of summer. Barbecuing outside, sitting by the campfire, and oh, tornadoes and other severe weather. My tip this week surrounds a service that's been around for many, many years, but has still become quite valuable for me. It's called weatherusa.net, and it's a really easy way to get alerts via email or text when there is severe weather headed your way. Simply visit the website, which we'll link to, and select your county and the type of warning that you'd like to receive, and whether you'd like to get it via text or email. The premium service will also let you do it via voice. Then whenever there is a tornado watch or warning or winter storm warning or whichever warnings you choose to receive, you'll receive a text or email immediately. I've found that the alerts come in quite fast, often faster than the notifications on the radio or TV or the direct alerts that my phone provides for me. The free service lets you sign up for alerts for one county or location, while the premium service lets you get multiple counties. You can also set a quiet time for text so you only get alerted at certain times of the day. But you know, if it's a tornado or a storm warning, I don't think I'd want to do that, because even if there's a tornado at 3 a.m., you should still take cover. Again, we'll link to that in the show notes at blindbargains.com. Stay safe, everybody. Have a great summer.
One of the best things about owning your own home is the joy of mowing your lawn. Wait, you don't like mowing your lawn? Well, luckily there are people out there who do enjoy that sort of thing, and they like to get paid for it as well. The challenge is in finding them. That's why there are services like TaskEasy.com. There are places such as Amazon who do this sort of thing as well, but the advantage of TaskEasy is that it seems to cover the widest geographic area. So how does it work? Visit TaskEasy.com and enter your service address. This helps TaskEasy not only find out where you are, but how big your yard is. Yeah, it's a little bit creepy, but it does use Google Maps along with other data to calculate the square footage of your lawn. If you already somehow, for some reason, know the square footage of your lawn, you can enter that manually, but it looks like TaskEasy was pretty accurate in calculating the square footage of my lawn. So once TaskEasy knows where you are and how big your lawn is, it's time to choose your lawn mowing plan. There are plans such as once a week lawn mowing, once every 2 week lawn mowing, and a couple of others. You can enter information such as the fact that your lawn is really overgrown and might require a little extra attention the first time someone mows it. The cool thing is that as you're choosing your plan, prices are already displayed, so you're not going to get any big surprises when the contractor arrives. Now that you've chosen what you want, it's time to pay. You can do that by PayPal or credit card, which is way more convenient than having cash on hand for the neighborhood kid. Your first payment is a fee that is kept on hand until the end of the season, at which time it can be used to pay for your last service, or it can be refunded. If you cancel any time before the end of the season, you forfeit that initial fee. Now that TaskEasy has all your information, it's time for them to schedule your task. They'll find contractors in your area and make sure that they have been background checked and make sure that they do have insurance, so you don't have to worry about that. Once your contractor has been located, your task will be scheduled. You'll get an email 24 hours ahead of time letting you know that the task will occur the next day. Once the contractor arrives and does what he or she needs to do, you'll get an email containing pictures of the contractor's work. You can forward that email to someone so that they can look it over for you and verify that all looks good, or you can just go walk around in your yard and make sure that things have been done to your satisfaction. If you agree that the contractor has done a great job, you can follow the accept link in the email, in which case your card will be charged the appropriate amount and the contractor will get paid. If you don't like the contractor's work, you can let TaskEasy know with the decline button, and they'll send that contractor or another out to fix whatever has gone wrong at no extra charge to you. Once you're satisfied, use the accept button, and again, the contractor will get paid. The contractor will continue to visit you on the schedule you've agreed upon, say once every week or once every couple of weeks, and each time you'll receive an email letting you know that the contractor will be arriving the next day. And that's all there is to it. Visit www.taskeasy.com and sit back and relax while someone else takes care of your lawn.
Here's a tip that might help you eat a little bit healthier. It's a website called Eat This, Not That. And it's at www.eatthis.com, EATTHIS.com. It's a website chock full of information about health tips and foods that you should eat instead of other foods. For instance, an article up there recently, Why Bacon is Better Than Tilapia. I haven't read that one yet, but that would be an interesting read for sure. The site looks at lots of things like fast food places and what might be better to eat than other things. For instance, if you order breakfast sandwiches at McDonald's, ask for the round egg on your sandwiches. If you don't, you kind of get this egg gelatinous mixture stuff, which has things like propylene glycol in it. That's an antifreeze. You might not want that on your sandwich. But if you ask for the round egg, they'll actually put an actual egg on your breakfast sandwich. Go figure. What an actual improvement there. Of course, it's a health nut site, so you have to take everything that you read with a grain of salt because, you know, they're trying to scare you in some ways, and everything is bad for you sometimes, and everything is not always as bad as they may seem. So sometimes I take things with a grain of salt. But still, it's a really cool resource for information, lots of cool articles that you can read. Again, it's at eatthis.com, EATTHIS.com.
All right, it's time to get a little musical here. And this time, we're gonna get funky. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that song. This is a website called Type Drummer. Yes, it takes letters that you type into an edit box and translates them into drum samples, which you can use to then make obnoxious beats. It's programmed by a gentleman named Kyle Stetz, who apparently has way too much free time on his hands.
Multi-line edit load.
So we go into this edit box here, and you start typing a letter. So if I type an A, there's a typical little drum hit. If I type a B, now I have two letters, A and B. So it's going back and forth between the two samples. You can just keep typing letters. There's a C, and there's a D. There's A, B, C, D. So of course, you could be a little more interesting. We could do, say, J... No, let's do C, A, J, and make drum beats that actually sound like drum beats, as they're supposed to. There's 26 letters, so there's 26 different samples, and you can type as much as you want in here. So you can type all sorts of things.
Multi-line edit load.
and it will create all sorts of beats. You're hearing some pauses in there? That's because I actually typed a number. A number is not an actual drum sound, so it put a rest in that spot. So you can kind of go back and forth and edit it, and we can take out these numbers actually, and tighten this up a bit here. Put some other random hits in here, and you can kind of keep messing with this. As you figure out which of the letters does each of the 26, it's case insensitive, so you do whatever you want here. I'm doing this in Firefox. It worked better here for me than Internet Explorer, but your mileage may vary as far as your operating system and whatnot. Also, make sure that you have your browse mode turned off, forms mode turned on, however you do it in your web browser, because you don't want your screen reader eating the keys, because these keys need to all go to this. So you can make fabulous beats. You could do parentheses as well here. So we can do parentheses. And you could do triplets. Imagine that. And then when you have a beat that you really think is cool. Oh, yeah. We go down here. Share this beat. And then you can send it to all your friends. So when you got a beat you want to share, you can send it over to us. feedback@blindbargains.com. And send over your awesome drum beats. Again, this is Type Drummer. We'll link to it in the show notes on blindbargains.com. Send your feedback and tips to feedback@blindbargains.com. All right, that's gonna do it. All right, we're done. Thanks, Kyle, wasting my evening.
Here's a tip. We're out of tips. Because we need you to submit tips and let us know the shortcuts and cool tools and things that you use to make your life easier. You can send them to feedback@blindbargains.com. That's feedback@blindbargains.com. Share your tips with all of our listeners and everybody will be happier. Thanks for listening to the BBcast.
Did you know the idea for this particular episode came from you, the listener? That is so correct. We had a suggestion come in at feedback@blindbargains.com that said, can you put all those old tips together in one giant episode so I don't have to go back through 60-something episodes of content to find those tips? And we said, yes, what a great idea. That would work out really good in our post-convention slot. And boom, through the magic of editing and Patrick's awesomeness, that happened. You can actually give us ideas that will make it into the show. I bet you didn't know that, but you can write us at feedback@blindbargains.com, or you can actually drop us some comments right there in the comment section. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/blindbargains. Meet us at convention. Hit up JJ or I over at the booths, or find me walking around at convention, or JJ over at AT guys. Definitely. You want to hit us up and talk to us, because we talk to a lot of you and we have some really good ideas for the future of 2016 and beyond. Now, if you have any questions, send them on in. If you've got tips of your own, send those on in too. And also, by the way, thanks to all of our friends and sponsors and for you guys going out there and telling people about our particular show. For JJ, Patrick, and myself, we do appreciate you listening. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.